Now, I am coming to a conclusion of this series that I have been ministering to you, but as God always does it, I don't know why he does this to me. He gave me another question. I'm trying to conclude. Okay, we're on the fourth question. Who are we standing with? But I felt, and I got, I got this while you were teaching. Which that means to me, I don't know about you, if the word of God is going forth and I get a revelation, that's God. Amen. I didn't get this revelation watching television. I didn't get this revelation taking a nap. Nothing wrong with it. But when the word of God is either being preached or the ministry of song or dance is being done, and then God drops something in my spirit, I say, I have to go with it. I haven't studied this. I haven't looked at any notes. I haven't done a thing yet. I just got it this morning. But the fourth question was, who are we standing with? But then he gave me a fifth question. What are you standing against? So now I got to go home and research this. I'm not even going to address that today. I haven't looked at a scripture. Okay, God, this is next Sunday's message. What are you standing against? Because part of this Christian walk, you're going to have to stand for, you're going to have to stand with, but you're going to have to stand against too. And if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's the condition of this world. They're not standing against unrighteousness. They're not standing against evil, the evil of the day. They're not standing against the lack of morality of the day. They're not standing against the destruction of the family. They're not standing against. They're not standing against. Why? Because they want to be popular. They want people to love them, like them, give them some money. But it comes to time, you got to stand against. And take whatever arrows come your way. It is a good thing when you do suffer for righteousness sake. Who in here in this year you have suffered, endured for righteousness? I didn't say you did something. I didn't say you sinned. I didn't say you transgressed. I didn't say you were in iniquity. I said no, you have stood for what's right in God. And you had to suffer for it. Did you count it all joy? Or did you question God? Was that really you, God? Was that me? Was that the devil? Was that my flesh? Was that you, God? I don't know. Hey, look, count it all joy to endure for the right thing. Because at some point, you're going to have to endure for what's right. Now, I talked out of Isaiah 53 last week. Do I need to make an adjustment? Because I'm getting a little something back. Like just give me a hand signal or just yell for the balcony. They don't care. Because I don't care. Just yell it from the balcony. Doesn't matter. Do I need to make any adjustment? Which one? Which one? This one? Up or down? Down. Okay, see? Roderick, a good young man, y'all. I depend on all of you all. He's been up there more than a minute. Really, probably maybe a decade. I don't know. It's been a long time. You know, he never complains. Never says, recognize me. I mean, you know, I am amazed at the people that God takes notice of. It's not the big stuff. If you just give a prophet so much as a cup of water, God says, I'll notice you. I'll take note of you. With a Shumanite woman, you just got a cruise oil left. That's all you got. Hey, we're going to eat this, then we're going to die. And you gave that to the prophet. And it wasn't one of these 21st century prophets that if you give this to me, I'm going to send you some. And the miracle blessings coming. You can't buy a miracle. See, blessings operate when we obey the scripture and principles. God promises to bless you. Blessings have nothing to, excuse me, miracles have nothing to do with you. That's based totally on God's sovereignty. And I see these guys on television, and you see me, because every day is a different seed. You send me this seed, you send me the seed, and God, and if you send me the seed, God's going to give you your miracle if you bless me with this seed. No, it's not. You can't pay for it. I'm not promising you a miracle just because of what you give today. I do believe you should operate in God's principles so that he can bless you. But if you need a miracle, that comes out of relationship. You're not gonna buy a relationship. God's in his, a relationship with God is not for sale. And I don't care if you just hit that lottery, what was that thing? 500, what was it? See, I knew somebody knew. 700 million dollars. And then he said, okay, God, I want 10 times this, so I'm going to get a whole 700 million so I can buy me a miracle. Never happened. Let me get back to the word. I want to stay on subject. I want to do an animality. I want to stay on subject. So we looked at Isaiah 53 last week. Today, I'm going to look at Mark chapter 2. Remember, this is who are you standing not for, but with. It's amazing the people that Jesus kind of rubbed shoulders with. Now, I believe he could do this because they couldn't influence him out of his purpose. So he could be around ungodly people. As a matter of fact, let's be honest, everybody he was around was ungodly. Even the ones who thought they were godly were ungodly. Nobody was born again. There wasn't a saved person the entire time, pre-cross. There was not a single person that was born again. Not even John the Baptist. John the Baptist did what he did. Jesus called him the greatest prophet of all, and he wasn't even saved. He was a man still in his sin, and he was looking to the cross. But he was still yet in the sin. That's why I think it's so important for us to preach that Christ died for us while we were yet in our sin. God didn't wait for us to get perfect. Let's be honest. He numbered himself with me. See, I didn't say you. He numbered himself with me. I know what I was. You gonna rub shoulders with me, God? I mean, God, don't you know I'm wretched. I'm stained. I smell. But he wasn't worrying about my flesh influencing him. So that's why he could rub shoulders with me. And here we're going to see where he ate with sinners. In Mark chapter 2, verse 15. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus. Now, people despise tax collectors. You know, the IRS, you don't like them now. You wait till the first of the year come. Man, I don't like them. Like to give me a big refund. I don't like them. You know, the government takes its taxes. I'm going to say that again. I want that to sink in. So you don't pay your taxes voluntarily. The government takes. Now, you can give to charity, so you give to your church, and you get a tax write-off, but we don't take out of your check before you either get the check or get direct deposit, Manor Christian Fellowship deduction. Because we can't, God doesn't forcibly take. The government literally takes your money off the top. They don't care if you need to buy groceries. They don't care if you got a medical bill, they're going to take it. And then at the end of the year, if you owe them something, they want it. N-O-W, yeah. Now. You got those federal loans for the college education, I believe, once you graduate. I mean, they start sending you a bill that, what, next month or two. It looks good while you're going to school because you're getting the college experience, you're getting the campus experience, and maybe even partying just a little bit, not a lot, just a tad. But I mean, you're having fun. I mean, college is fun. You know, it's educational, but it's fun too. But all of a sudden, you get the degree, you're happy, pictures taken, got the video cameras, everybody got a camera, and then you don't have a job yet. All that education, and then here comes Uncle Bill saying, pay me. I don't care if you haven't found a job. Pay me now. Jesus was eating with people that even sinners despised. Oh, well, that was a good one. He wasn't just eating with sinners. He was eating with worldly people that worldly people didn't like. Who do you eat with? Only Christians? So I've often said, now, if somebody's life is going to rub off on you, then you only need to be around righteous people. So hopefully that's what rub off on you. If their lifestyle, like these athletes that and entertainers that people bow down and worship, because of their great exploits on the field or on the court or in a movie, but unfortunately, their lifestyle rubs off on people. Yeah. And that's when you need to stay away. Not out of law, but you don't want that which is corrupt in them to influence you, which will pull you away from God. But let's say they're good people. Just because they are good people doesn't mean you still need to connect to them. I go back to the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, I don't care even the good part you don't eat. See, the world's goodness will still cause you to stumble. I didn't get on that. You know, that was a, it's okay. It's all right. I understand. And so these entertainers and athletes, I mean, they're always in the news for either mostly for something bad other than what they do as far as their profession. And because people idolize them, meaning they make them to be God's little g. And they follow their lifestyle as opposed to following God's lifestyle, big G. Thank you. Well, somebody's child got it. You want God's influence because you want to do things God's way. And God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you. I don't do things like you do them. You have to be around me. I'm not going to do it your way. I can eat with you, sat with you, but I'm not doing it your way. You might think you can purchase a miracle from me. I got news for you. I'm not sending you no water from the Jordan. I'm not going to send you a handkerchief that I bought at Walmart. And will my shadow or a cloud shadow go over you? Nothing's going to happen. I'm God. I don't care what they promise. You can call it the Pentecost seed, the resurrection seed, the this seed and the that seed. No, that's a gimmick. That is not a relationship. What if I came before you every Sunday with a gimmick, telling you what I'm going to do for you, which I have no intent on doing. For your seed, meaning your
money.
Thank you. I don't do that. I believe you're supposed to give out of relationship.
That's right.
You should be giving out of your relationship, not law. Law required the tithe. Grace requires your life. Didn't get that one. The law required a minimum. But you don't want to be around somebody who wants to just do the minimum. What if your husband or your wife, your children say, we're going to love you with the minimum? Good morning, good night. December on Mother's Day, Father's Day, maybe Christmas, if you give me what I want. And that's all I'm doing. That's the minimum. I tell you I love you once a month. Think about that. What if your spouse or your child only told you, even though you know it, you say you know it, only told you they love you once a month? What if God told you only once a month, I love you? God is telling us every day. God is telling us every moment of every day. I love you. I care about you. I care what happens to you. The smallest little thing that upsets you, I care about it. It's not the major. It's just the tiny little stuff. God says, but I care. I'm counting the very hair, even though you ain't got as much as you used to. The few you got, I'm still counting them. I ain't looking nobody. I don't want to look in the mirror either. But the very few, says I'm counting them. Even the ones nobody can see. It's all cut off. You took a razor to it and shaved it off. But that's still life in your head. I'm still counting. Oh, let me finish reading this. Now, this is good stuff here. It says, now it happened, as he was down in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. Now here's a problem. He's not just sitting with Jesus. Jesus brought his disciples in there.
Yeah.
Forced, he made them sit with him.
Yeah.
He brought his disciples, his friends. In other words, I'm setting the example. This is what you're supposed to follow. And when the scribes and Pharisees, these are the religious leaders, saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they didn't talk to him. Uh-oh, this is a message in that. See, we ain't going to mess with Jesus. I'm going to talk to the church. So I can get to you. I might can change your mind. Now I know I can't change Jesus, but let me go to your disciples. Don't you know parents know that?
Yeah.
The things you teach your children, but now they got to go to school.
Yeah, there you go.
And the devil comes against them, not in your house. He comes against them in the marketplace. To do what? To influence them away from your influence. And he is subtle. Now, let me give you an example. Who was that? I think Reverend Brown. Was it you talking about Farrakhan this morning? Now, I didn't see it. Let me get this. And I hope this doesn't mess up anything. Because I don't want no boom. You know, I don't like it when that stuff happens. But I want you to share, just what you shared with the elders this morning, because I didn't hear it, so I can't say it like you said it.
I got a clip from someone yesterday that said that Farrakhan was a Christian. So I looked at the clip, and he was saying that he knew he had to repent of all the wrong teachings that he had done throughout the years, but he was going to stand there and say that Jesus was his redeemer. You know, and so it gave me some interest there, so I Googled it myself, you know, to find what else could I find. So when I found the topic, it said, what direction is Farrakhan going in? And as he began to talk about Jesus and the pastors and everything, he said, I'm a Christian and a Muslim too. So you guys, you know, we really got to be keen and listen, because that's deception, you know, to lure us in, you know, so yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Appreciate that. Yeah. Now, I want her to share that with you. That's what the devil uses. He's not trying to get Jesus to change his mind. He's trying to get us to change ours. See, he's not denying Jesus. Remember, the spirit of Antichrist does not deny the Christ. Lucifer never denied the existence of God. He wanted to sit where God sits. He's not denying that, oh, God actually doesn't exist. You got some crazy folk out here, the Bible calls them foolish, which is a long word for fools. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They're actually trying to say that there is no God or that Jesus is not the Messiah. But you know what? Even cults recognize. Oh, yeah, a man named Jesus lived, and the Quran actually talks about the miracles that Jesus performed. But they put Muhammad on the same level. So you have a religion that acknowledges the goodness of God, but is still designed to bring deception to pull you away from Jesus. Excuse me, the goodness of Jesus. But ultimately, it is still designed to pull you away from him. That's what the devil does. So these Pharisees and these religious leaders, they don't go to Jesus, they go to his disciples. I said this morning to my elders, you know, we got politicians now that and religious groups that do good things, and people say, they pair up what they do good to what they do bad. Planned Parenthood is a perfect example. Here's the thing. Think about the name. Just first of all, the name itself, Planned Parenthood. That don't sound bad. Then it talks about the free medical examinations that women can get. It talks about women's health. See, that's all good. But what's paired to it?
Yeah.
The killing of the innocent.
Yes.
And so when someone like me come out and talk about it, they say, well, what's wrong with you, Bishop? What's wrong with you, Pastor? Why are you against women's health? And because they don't emphasize the other part. And it makes you look bad because it looks like you are against something that's good. I see what God told Eve, don't you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's an evil side. And it's paired to the good. And if you partake of it, even the good side, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Even if you partake of the good side, you're still going to fall. If I was a politician and they paired the funding of Planned Parenthood with all the women's health stuff and all that, but they paired it with abortion, I ain't passing none of it.
That's right.
Even the good part. That's for next Sunday. What you're standing against.
Amen.
Part of your Christian life means you have to stand against the good.
Yes.
I ain't talking about the evil. You got to stand against the good. And you're going to look like a hater.
Yes.
Because how can you be against this? They're feeding children. They're feeding the hungry. How can you? Because I know what's paired with it. And if I partake of the right side, I get the left. If I partake of the left side, I get the right.
Yeah.
And the only way to stop the evil means I got to resist the good too.
Yes, sir.
Just because everybody put some money in your pocket don't mean it for you.
That's right.
Okay, oh Lord, my time is gone. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? Who does he think he is? Look at him. This is the Jesus preaching and teaching and healing the sick and raising the dead. Look at who he's eating with. He can't be good. Look at who... I mean, you're known by the company you keep. Look at the company he's keeping. That's the Messiah? Jesus didn't care. Could care less. My mission is to save these tax collectors and these sinners. My mission, my purpose, I've come to save them. I didn't come for anyone who's not ill, who doesn't need a physician. I ain't come for you.
Yeah.
If you can get it on your own, get it.
Yeah.
I've come for those who can't get it on their own.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
They can't get saved on their own. They can't get healed on their own. They can't get deliverance on their own. They are sick with sin.
Yes, yes, sir.
But I'm the good doctor. There's a balm, B-A-L-M, still in Gilead.
Yes, sir.
I'm the doctor.
Hallelujah.
I'm the great physician.
Yes, yes.
And I, in the natural, who do physicians see? They don't see well people. Thank you. They see sick people. In the natural, sometimes seeing a sick folk, some of those sicknesses rub off on them. They get sick. Dealing with something contagious. Now, Jesus could, there was nothing he was contagious to. Jesus' immune system, I'm talking spiritual now, his immune system was perfect. No matter what people were dealing with that they could pass on to other people, they couldn't pass on them. Because think about, I just thought about this. Think about this. If you're dealing with somebody that's got a contagious disease, that disease doesn't ask you if they can come in your body. It forces its way in. And if you hang around people who can influence you to sin, you may not voluntarily want to do what they're doing. But that thing will start to try to force its way in. Unless you are prepared. Here's your manual. This is it. Now, you may not like this. I know the flesh won't. You're not going to be immune if you open this once a month. Now, I know it's popular to tell you that all you got to do is just read a couple of verses, you know, maybe say a nightly prayer, you know, God bless me and my wife, my two kids, us four, Acts 2:4, no more, amen. If you open this once a week, I'm not going to help you. God, let me back up. It'll help you a little. But according to the Bible, this man, it's got to be renewed.
Daily.
You can't get around that. You might want a sale. God doesn't have a sale. God does not say, your mind doesn't have to be renewed on a holiday.
That's right.
I mean, you get off work. But God says, but every day.
That's right.
When you celebrate my birthday, you should open this book to some measure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still going to need it. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, hey, we are going into September, heading into the fall. Thank God for that. Maybe, hopefully, we've seen 90 degrees gone. You can't read this casually. And assume you're going to be immune. You got to build up your what? Immunity. Your natural body, people take what? Take vitamin C. Pump it. Vitamin C. Here we go. Going to the fall. Going to the winter. Pump it. You got ester C out there. You got what the other stuff is out there? They got all the. You go to drugstore. You go to the grocery store. They got all kinds of vitamin C. To pump up your immune system. To fight off cold. To fight off the flu. And people will buy and pay for that religiously.
Yeah.
And yet God says, here's your vitamin Christ.
That's right.
Vitamin C.
Yeah.
This is your vitamin C. That is still won't loud enough. This is your vitamin C. You don't need to go to Walgreens and Walmart and CVS and whoever else is out there. This is your vitamin C. This is what's going to boost your immune system.
Yes, it's a good word.
But like those pills, you got to take it.
That's right.
Every single day. And the moment the devil convinces you it's okay to skip a day, it's okay to take the day off, the devil knows your immunity, your immune system decreases little by little. He's not trying to get it to decrease all at once. Little by little. Why? Because if I can get the immune system to decrease little by little, you won't notice it. Man, if I wipe your immune system out in one day, man, you wake up, you be feeling all kind of stuff. Ache here, pain there, you move this way, that hurt, you move that way, that hurt. Sneezing all over the place. You can't figure out why am I sneezing. I'm coughing. I'm sneezing. And oh man, skin. What's going on? So he takes it little by little. Just enough so that you don't notice it. And then like God who sends laborers who plant and water seeds. He does it. He does send it because he copycats. He copies. He sends laborers to plant and to water to get you to do one thing. Think. Not believe. Just start to consider. Has God said? That's all he wants. That's his foot. You're trying to close it? See, the foot of the door is just not walking in. It's you trying to close it, but I'm rooted in your unbelief. Now I'm going to force my way in. I'm braced so that you never can close this door completely. Yes. Only Jesus can. And he doesn't need to force it. He just need to tell me. He just need to say the word. If Jesus tells me to get up out of here, I got to get up out of here. He came right into Hades. The Bible says he came to Hades and he took captivity captive. He went to Lucifer, the devil, the adversary, the resistor, the accuser, the brother, and said, give me the keys. And he wasn't asking a question. He didn't say, now, can you please, I want to get them out of prison. Can you, I got a couple of dollars. Can I buy a key? Can I get a duplicate? No, he walked and said, give me the keys. And get out of my way. The Bible says you open the jails. But he led those who were being held captivity captive. They were being captive, but now with him. And then, check this out. He wasn't even done. He walked back on the earth, and the Bible said the grave started opening up on earth.
Yes.
That wasn't no movie. That wasn't special effects. That was not computers.
That's right.
Jesus said, my first offering is not going to be money. My first offering, my first tithe to my daddy is going to be souls. See, the church has missed totally, seed time and harvest. God's going to bless you. Seed time and harvest dealt with souls. See how it went? That's what we do. Because we're looking at all this mess on Christian television. And most, not all, but most of the ones I hear, when they talk about seed time and harvest, they're talking about money. Perverting the gospel. When the Bible talks about the winning of souls, that's seed time harvest. When the angel comes, can y'all give me five more minutes? When the angel, book of Revelation, it's still there. When the angel comes with the sickle, he ain't coming to separate the rich from the poor.
That's right. He's
separating the saved and the lost. Why? Because when they were growing up, weeds and the tares grew together.
Yes.
God says don't separate them. A sickle is going to come and separate them. But church, don't you separate them, because you will destroy some of the good with the bad. So you let, why? Because when a weed and a wheat begin to grow, they are identical.
Yeah, yeah.
You cannot physically tell the difference when they first begin to grow. But I got an angel who's coming with a sickle.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I'm not even going to do this. Understand. I'm all powerful, but you better not mess with one of my angels. You talking about you won't mess with me? Let me send Michael. Let me send Gabriel. And they got the sickle in their hand. Now they're going to say, now it's seed time and harvest. Because I'm going to separate. Harvest time is separation. And I grew up, when I was a boy, some of you didn't grow up this way. You know, you got gas mowers and riding mowers. But see, back in the day, my dad had this thing with these blades on it and wheel, and that was it. Self-propel mowers, all the self-propel came from you. And you had to roll that thing. And you were cutting the grass. But even before that, I still had a good car. My daddy had this. I didn't want to do that. I thought I had made it with the roller. Your mama, your grandmama, your great-grandmama, they washed the clothes. Then we throw them in the machine. The angel come with that sickle. I'm separating them. And it's too late to change. You one of those five bridesmaids that was foolish. You knew, and I'm talking about ignorance, you knew, and you said no. I got a sickle in my hand. I'm going to separate. The angel said, I'm going old school. I ain't coming with no gas mower. I ain't coming with no ride mower. I'm coming. It's going to be violent. The rapture is not going to be a slow rise. In the Greek, it means to be snatched. One moment you're here, and the next moment you're gone. There's not going to be a gradual floating. That's a movie. The rapture is not going to be a movie. The end time is not going to be a movie. The book of Revelation is not a movie. You better work out your salvation. Somebody need to tell the world, tell the church. You got to work this out now. I got to work this out. I'm not working for it, but I got to work this out. Yeah. There's some fear in me. Because when I see people get snatched up out here, that's why I keep saying, I'm so glad if rapture took place on Sunday morning. You know why? Because if I don't go, I know I got to get right. I'm the pastor of the church. Y'all get up out here. I'm still here preaching to the pew. Something wrong with me. Don't start talking to me. Something wrong with me. But you know what, God? It don't take much to get me right.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't take much. Just let an ant start talking to me. God, I'm going to get it right. I don't need to know what the ant talking about. I only need to hear it. If the thing talking to me, I'm out of fellowship. I don't need it. See, what do you need to get in fellowship? I'm closing. What does God need to say to get you in fellowship? Or what can he say and you don't even understand it, but you still get in fellowship? Because it's him talking. When my daddy talked, I didn't understand a lot of my daddy said, but I did what he said. Is that quiet up saying me to drop? God is your father. Sometimes it doesn't matter what he's saying. You better hope he's still saying. Because if he ever goes silent, one of the worst things you can ever have. Children know this. Your parents stop talking to you.
Yeah, right.
Father, in Jesus' name, gotta close. Time gone.